Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are the reason, Lord, that we have any joy, any hope. Everything is found in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. I bless your name. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Now we'll bless your name in the midst of the great congregation. I will praise the living God. Hallelujah. Lord, the family of God that is named by your great name, Heavenly Father, the family in heaven and on earth, one family through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. I will bless your name at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to shut down. We want to shut down everything that would come to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if every brother or sister, every person that comes into the presence of God, every child of God would be mindful of their part and their duty to shut down all that comes to hinder the praise that's due to God's name. We ourselves being aware and then coming freely with great joy and love to praise our one true Father. Thank you, Jesus. Have a few moments of silence. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. In moments like this, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like this, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. The whole relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is supposed to be a love relationship from the heart. Many different emotions involved, but mainly the will. The will inside our hearts to decide that I do love this person that I've never seen with my eyes, physical eyes. Many of us have not seen Jesus with our physical eyes. Some have. But the Lord said this, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus said that. You see me, he said to the disciples. But he said to the rest, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Hallelujah. When we have our heart's affections toward the Lord, the Christian religion, our faith, is based on the truth that evokes affection to the Lord. Otherwise, it's a dead religion. It's no different than any other religion. It's just some creeds on the wall, some commandments, some do's and don'ts, and then you do the best you can and hope you end up on the right side when it's all over. Christianity, the real faith, the real joy, comes from a heart that's full of affection. It's an affection or affective religion, A-F-F-E-C-T-I-E. That means it has emotion, but it's not superficial. It's not fleeting. When we sing a song like this, in moments like these, where am I? I'm in the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm able to be away from the world and the distractions, the chores, the house, all the things that are happening outside. I put that outside and I say, Lord, in moments like these, I'm coming before your holy presence simply to say, I love you, Lord. We think about love songs, and this world knows all about love songs, all kinds of them, but they have no Holy Spirit in them. It's mere emotion, comes and goes. People sing something, they make something, and then they have to withdraw that and make another song for somebody else, somebody new. It's a shame, but it's also tragic because people are looking for love in all the wrong places. We have come to the presence of the living God to see the one who really loves us for eternity. When we're busy with life and we have many things to do, we feel like we matter. We're important. We may have 50 different things that we have to do and people are involved in our lives and we're involved in their lives. And so we're just caught in doing. And then maybe one element of the 50 is gone, taken away. You still feel important. You're busy. Maybe 10 elements are gone. I have 39. And as we grow older, maybe we have 20 left. People don't need me as much and I don't have them around as much. It's a very real happening to every individual. And then as we get even older, we may be left by ourselves. In fact, every human being will inevitably be left by himself or herself. To go before the one for whom they ought to have been living all along. So it's a very important thing to put Jesus first now, so that when all the other things go, we'll still be full and we'll still have that living, vital connection full of love and joy. Because even when tragedy comes, even when sickness and sorrow comes, even when we lose material things, many people feel absolutely empty and useless when they lose material blessings. Or people that they've surrounded themselves with, they think this is what life is. We need people. We're meant to live together, especially in the body of Christ. But ultimately, in moments like these, I sing out a song. It's not so much koinonia, the fellowship that's with the people, that's first. It's vital. It's important. The first fellowship is with the living God. And to strengthen that bond, that's the only way we can actually sing and say, I love you, Lord. And God will hear a little child, a very elderly person, maybe 95, 100 years old. You know what? They were in their heyday, important, busy, going here, going there, and then everything starts to die down. Like in Ecclesiastes, it says, different things about old age and things just started to slow down. Eventually, man goes to his eternal home. Now, we think about these truths from the scriptures. We have to say, Lord, where am I in relation to this? I want to praise you. And even if I say three simple words, I love you. And those words come from the depths of my heart. And I don't have a divided heart. God will receive that more than all the eloquent prayers that are from some podium or some cathedral or some open balcony and you have millions and billions hearing it. three little words from the heart reaches the ears of God. That's why he can say, the two that went to the temple, both were religious. One was full of religion and no real relationship with God. He tried, but he failed to make the vital connection. The other one didn't have so many rituals and all these things, but he knew, Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, and I'm not worthy to come to you. But there was faith. There was not a false humility that robbed him. He could have said, Lord, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, and never get near God because I'm not worthy, and the devil will take him right to hell with that. But he knew, I'm not worthy, but I know that you love me. I believe that you love me. And so I'm coming near you, Lord, to receive your touch. And he went away justified. We're in the house of God to say, Lord, help me. When I say I love you, Lord, help me to mean it from the depths of my heart. When we do, God will receive that very sentence. You know what? The truth is, we get an inside look at not just the other side, quote unquote, heaven, but actually right into the heart of God. One thing I found about the living God is he's very predictable. Aren't you glad? We don't have a God that changes his mind and he's emotional and like the other so-called gods. God is very, very stable and predictable. In fact, he literally uncovers his heart to let us know who he is and what delights him. He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. A broken heart. He said, Lord, I love you and you're my all in all. I'm not going to wait until I lose things along the way, whether it means material things, people, my job, my hobbies, you know, people, there are people who say, I've got the whole weekend planned out. You know what their plan is? After a work week or whatever they did, they already know, I'm going to go here, enjoy this, I'm going to go meet that person, I'm going to do this, and then wind down by Sunday and get back to the grinding mill on Monday. Do it all over again. They think they can run their lives, they can program themselves until something happens where they can't do the things they used to do. Somebody says, I'm going to go boating because the weather's good and the winds are right and it's sunny, there's good visibility, my boat's working, thank God. They might put in, thank God. I have friends to go with me, which is all good, but what happens when you can't do that thing that you really want to do? Can we still say, Lord, it's not just okay. It really doesn't matter ultimately because I'm with you and you plan my day. As Christians, we can say, Lord, I want you to give me the essence of life every single day so that no matter what happens around me or even from outside coming into my emotions, we have a whole range of emotions that we can experience, right? We're weak, we're frail, but he's strong. I am weak, but he is strong. I say, I love you, Lord. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. And in moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord, for all you've done for me, Jesus. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord, I love you. We want to say I love you, Lord, because we're so thankful to you. You truly came looking for us. Thank you, Lord. And every Lord's Day, Lord, we will celebrate the fact that you came for the one stray sheep, which happened to be all of us before he came to Christ. The Lord had mercy. Imagine if he said, I have enough in my kingdom. I have enough in my family. You don't really matter because you're not doing so well and you're not trying hard enough. We wouldn't have made it. Oh, thank God. He said, but you matter. I'm going to keep working with you. I'm going to keep engineering the circumstances till you realize how much I love you. And that love comes and overflows and we say, oh, this is what I've been looking for all my life. The love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes the most important parts of a service are the ones in which we can quiet down ourselves, distance ourselves from all the thoughts and the things during the week, and say, where am I? I'm in the chapel, the house of God, the church. Why do people go to church? Many times it's because they have problems, but there are a few that come to say, thank you, Lord. Everything's fine, but I'm coming because I owe you the minimum to give you thanks. And I'm happy to do that. God knows our hearts. But when we take moments during a service, because we, as I said, that autopilot syndrome can be there. You know, you pray, you clap, you sing, you have the tithes and offerings, you have the message, and you pray at the end, and you sing some more songs, you say hello to everybody, you get in your vehicle, and you're back to what? The very thing that you left, that you thought was important. And this becomes something equally important, if not less important. That's not correct. So the Lord works in our hearts to let us know this is the pinnacle of the whole week. Do you believe that? The height of every week is the time that we come to God's presence to meet with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I learned that. Thank God I learned that. Hallelujah. God has brought us to worship Him. So there's no rush. There's no problem. God can handle if we have faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Moment where you have no other go and you say, Lord, help me. He wants to see if we really believe, or we're just praying out of desperation with no faith connection. God is looking to build faith in His people because that's what ultimately is going to matter. And you've all been through that. But you know what? As I said, I think a few weeks ago, in this journey, am I learning? That's critical. You can go through school, in college, university, and say, what's the bare minimum? And kind of slip on by to the next level. But if I haven't retained what I needed, I don't have a foundation. And when the test comes or the next level that I need to graduate to, I won't have the stuff that I need to make use of that. So spiritually, we need to just step back and say, Lord, where am I? And sometimes we may feel that God is showing me I really don't have faith. What do you do if that's the fact? We have to just go to God and say, Lord, this is what it is. Please help me, Lord. Oh, Jesus. What am I missing, Lord? And then begin to say, I'm going to exercise faith. Not in me, my vehicle, you know, whatever's out there, but in Jesus. That when I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall. 'Cause He'll move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call. Hallelujah. God is there for His people. But I have to train myself. When we're young and we're healthy and we're strong, we may call on Jesus because we have a situation, but it's not really a love relationship based on faith. It's more like, I need God to cover me. I need God to help me with this. And God is so good and generous. He's so kind that he understands, like a great, wonderful, wise father, because he loves us. He'll let us learn. But if we don't want to learn, we'll still be cruising on that self-centered mode. But I say, Lord, I want to call on you more often. That's the first thing. I want you to make note of that. Something I learned. The first thing is actually to call on God. There are people who don't call on God all day long, and they're Christians, supposedly. Can you imagine a Christian life like that? All day long, they assume, I'm a Christian and God's going to take care of me. I don't need to pray and I don't even think about it. In fact, it's only when I get into a situation that I want to pray. Secondly, there are those who are believers who call on the Lord maybe once or twice the whole day. That's the problem. So we need to call on God, number one. Begin to practice that, no matter what age we are, what background. Secondly, we need to say, Lord, I want to call on you more often. Not just when things are really, really desperate, but I want to call on you to say things like we sang, Lord, I love you. If you go to a loved one and you only talk to them when you need something, or you say, I love you because you think if I don't, they'll think this. If I don't, I won't get that reciprocation where when I need help or affection, they won't show it. Various kind of motivations that happen in the human heart. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Above all things, desperately wicked. That's the old nature. But when Jesus comes in, he begins to work in our hearts. We begin to love people even when what? Matthew chapter 5. Oh, this is powerful. The Lord brought it again to me recently. Listen to this. Love your who? Enemies. I have that. I read it many times. But this past week, the Lord brought something to me. He says, love your enemies. What do you mean, love your enemies? How can you love somebody who hates you? Who wants to hurt you? Jesus did that on the cross. Because his love and his spirit will work to justify, vindicate, and validate that you really belong to Jesus. That's the mark of a real Christian. When you can love from the heart. Not only when people don't love you, but when they actually hate you. That's powerful. Do good to those who hate you. Somebody says, I can do that on the job, on the street maybe. I can try to muster up my faith, my ethos, my pathos, whatever you want to call the emotions, the belief, and just say, I'm going to do this. What about my family member? The one that is with me and is so troubling because it's right in front of you. You know what God highlighted to me? The part of that passage. I read this many times. And I'm sure you have. He says, pray for those who can finish that sentence, persecute you. Goodness, I used to read that and think persecution, history, Christianity. They got thrown to the lions and they had to, you know, stand up for the faith. And you think, this is how we think. And then we get into a situation where somebody's giving us a hard time. And maybe the Spirit of God brings that back. And I say, Lord, you told me to pray. It's a commandment. Have I prayed for those who persecute me? But getting right to the point now, you know the thing that stood out from all of this? The very word persecute. What stood out to me was, to persecute means P-A-I-N. That brings it home to me. Because otherwise we can think about persecution, you know, they said a bad word or they don't like you, they gave you a look. But when you think of persecution as pain, the words can cut and damage me emotionally. It can hurt me. It can stop me in my tracks. It can wound me. And then physical pain. For most people, it's not that when somebody persecutes, but there are cases like that. But all of this persecution involves pain. And the reference point is, God says, because you belong to me. You're doing the right thing. When you're walking with me, and the enemy comes through various means to persecute. Think of persecution as somebody with an arrow throwing the arrow at you. That's persecution. It's not going to be an empty thing. It's something that is intended to give pain. So persecution comes on many different levels. As I said, we may think of a group of people, Christians on the other side of the world. You know what? What they're persecuted for? Nothing other than that they're Christians. They work their jobs honestly, fully. They are very good citizens in their neighborhood. Everybody knows they're the go-to persons for honesty, for humility. But I'm going to still persecute you. There's a spirit involved, right? Who's going to persecute a good person but the devil? So when we understand that, we may think there are people groups or people that are Christians that are suffering these things. And then you may think, well, I'm suffering as a Christian on my job because I'm doing the right thing. And people don't like me to do the right thing. And I'm being honest and they want to do things shady. And so there's a conflict. I get it. I understand. But still, the kind of persecution that Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 5, when you boil it down to its essence, it's talking about pain. So when you experience pain because you belong to Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, that's when the Lord says, pray for those people. Doesn't that make a big difference? In other words, it's not just they said something, I heard it through the grapevine, you know, they don't like me and this and that. It bothers me. But when it comes directly to you, somebody says, I hate you. Somebody says, I don't need you. Somebody says, I don't want you. And they're making your life miserable. You didn't do anything to them at all except good. That's persecution. And that persecution involves pain. Pain. So, the Lord is a realist. There's no artificial, poetic kind of language that means nothing. It's just a feeling. No. He came down into our world, into our mess. He didn't come down on a white horse and start, you know, preaching everywhere and saying, okay, this is my last round and I'm going to go back to heaven. He came right into the mess. And he lived among the trouble. And he bore the trouble and the pain. So when we hear these words, remember, the Lord said, pray for those who, can I substitute this phrase? Listen to this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. How do you like to be used by somebody? God understands exactly what's going on many times. Matthew chapter 5. Pray for those, this is substitution, who give you pain. That's how I read that. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. We get very ruffled, don't we? If somebody bothers us and they want to, you know, we get a feeling that, you know what? You're just using me. It's a very bad feeling, which shows that you don't care about me. You just want to use me for what you want to achieve. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, secondly. Third, do good to those who hate you. Fourth, pray for those who despitefully use you. What does despise mean? It means a person is coming down the street and they look at you and they think you're lower than them. Or on the job, you're not as smart as me. Or in school, tragedy of tragedies. A child that is so precious in God's sight. You're less than me because of your color, because of your educational status, your social economic background, or because of your personality. You don't talk right. You don't look right. You don't dress right. Oh, the weight that can come. You know what? It can last not only through adulthood, but even to the grave. That's the power of persecution when we don't have Jesus to heal us and to tell us who we really are in Him. Now, I can say, I have Jesus, and I've discovered who I am in Him. But there's still a problem. You know what the problem is? We're still in this world. We have to deal with these things. That's where this comes in. God says, if I really am in your life and you really know me and you know how much I love you, I want you to show that love to who? The people that you normally would not want to even come near because you just have these feelings that they're so mean and evil. So the way I read this verse is, pray for those who give you pain and think you're less than nothing. You're not worth anything. How do you pray for those people? This is where that reality sets in. Am I really a Christian? Because these are commandments from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, the one that loves me, we talked about loving God, saying, Lord, I love you. The Lord says in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep what I told you to do. And He's telling us to do this. Which means if I don't do this, I don't love Him. There's no real relationship. Why is that? Because God is God. Because everything He says and does is right. He's perfect and He's full of love. And He demonstrated the same love manifold times beyond what we can even fathom when He came down to earth and died on the cross. So He has a valid, very substantial reason to say, I'm telling you to do this because I've showed you how to do it. Isn't that wonderful? God is the quintessential parent and teacher. He's not one who says, do as I say and not as I do. Do as I say, do as I do. It's enough for a student to be like his teacher, Jesus said. Just follow me. And that's why in various movements in history, even recent times, when you have people that are oppressed because they're standing for justice and righteousness and they refuse to back down and see their people slaughtered, they're good people. God is on their side. It's going to involve pain. But when you stand up for what you know is right, God is on your side. Amen? We should not fear. And then we also need to know that I need to be in contact with God. It's not just an activist movement, right? I'm a Christian and I'm going to get on the picket lines and demonstrate here and there. No. It starts in the heart. Do I understand what God is up to in this situation? Am I letting God work? Do I know how to hit the floor on my knees and spend sufficient time in the presence of God who can turn everything around? But pray for those who give you pain. Remember that next time you read Matthew 5. God actually told me. We can say, pray for those who give you pain. It's not a pleasant thing, but that's where love shows through. And He says, those who despitefully use you. It is so powerful. I've read so much of religious material and philosophy and all these things. And there's nothing compared to this. Anyone's honest, there's nothing in the whole world compared to the words of Jesus Christ. Nothing. It's so powerful. It goes right to the nerve center of humanity. And when we're struggling, have you been there? Where you don't know how to cope with crisis. I don't know how to deal with this person or those people or this situation. I feel like I'm exploding. I'm going to lose my mind. And we come to Jesus. And we start telling Him honestly, Lord, I feel like I'm going to explode and lose my mind. But I have a connection and I start saying, Lord, can you help me? Please help me. And He begins to minister to our hearts and we begin to settle down. And you know what? Wonder of wonders. In a split second, it's happened to me throughout my life. Your whole way of thinking can shift. Hallelujah. And you feel peace.
You don't have those feelings anymore that I have to do this, I have to do that. You have a peace. God is going to handle this because I came to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In moments like this, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I have my eyes closed. I'm not looking at you. But I want to ask you if you'll do this. I have two hands, a couple of broken fingers, but it's okay. I got hands. Hallelujah. I have other problems, but God is so good. He's my solution. Jesus is the answer. But what I want to encourage you to do is this. If you have hands, you don't have to do it. Not a, you know, pastor said to do this, preacher said to do this, and everybody jump up and turn 360 this way. People have done that, sad to say. No. If you have hands, as I said, I'm not looking. But as we're worshiping God, I mean, the song is saying I'm lifting up my hands. The Bible says, I lift up my hands to the Lord. I grew up in a church where you didn't move. You went in and you sat down, and if you had to cough, you had to be very discreet about it. And the way you look at people is like this. You rarely turned around. That was the atmosphere. And then I got, went to a church, later. People were clapping and singing. I said, what is going on? You're distracting me with all that clapping. Look at that one, full of smiles. Going on here. And then I saw I had it all wrong. I'm supposed to go to God. Yes, be serious. Understand I'm coming to God. Not be flippant. But I want to celebrate that God has been good to me all week long. And I have faith for the future. I was missing all of that going to church. There's no celebration. I went to hear a homily, you know, a sermon. And some points. And as a kid, we had a fruitcake afterwards. And some punch. I remember that distinctly. It was sour, but I don't know why they combined that. Take that fruitcake and like, yummy, and then sour fruit juice. And then, you know, you get used to it, but you look forward to it. But I didn't have the celebratory aspect at all. I was missing it. I didn't know. But I had a need. You know what the need was? I had this asthma that was just killing me. It was destroying my life on every level. And I needed healing, and I got healed. And when I got healed, it came spontaneous. Oh, God, you did this for me. That was impossible. I got to thank you. And I learned how to raise my hands. I learned how to clap. I learned how to shout praise to God. And you know, that feeling starts coming in. Wait a minute, I'm doing this to God, to the living God. What do I care what people think? I will praise His name. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. You want to call on God every day. Don't miss that. Call on Him every day. Secondly, call on Him more often. You can train yourself. Sometimes when I used to work in the secular world and even school, you're so busy. It's like one thing to the next. And then the whole day goes before I think, did I even have a quality time with God? And that used to make me feel so bad because I ignored Him, who's the very reason why I'm alive and succeeding. And I had to talk to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If I can make a graph, and on that graph I can put down, you know, the time I got up, 5 a.m. or whatever, and the time I retired to bed, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Can I make a graph? How many times did I pray to the Lord? I put a dot over there. How many times did I call on the Lord? Did I celebrate His goodness? We may find for a lot of people who call themselves Christians, it's zero. And for others, it's very minimal. But you have something to do about it if you're not doing that. Say, Lord, I really want to be conscious of this. I want to deliberately, when I go to the kitchen and take that pot, thank you, Jesus. Why? My hands are working. Hallelujah. I have a pot. I have something to put in the pot. You know what? I have a stove to cook on, and when it's done, I can actually eat it. Every one of those things, people miss certain elements, they can't enjoy anything. And it becomes a lifestyle. Praise God. We're going to sing this song and then we'll pray.
In the stars' handiwork I see, on the wind he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in his story. Sure he came to set his people free, what is that to me? Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, that lived away out there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me.
Let's sing that chorus part.
Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray. Keep me safe upon that narrow way. He's everything to me. Oh, he's everything to me. My Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is everything to me.
Hallelujah. Jesus, you're everything to me. Hallelujah. You're everything to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we stand as we continue to worship? Lord, you're everything to me. Oh, I thank you for giving me breath. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me all that I have. I will bless your name, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, he's everything to me. Can you say that? Lord, you're everything to me. Jesus, you're everything to me. Sometimes we need to hear that. Jesus, you're everything to me. Let God hear it. Jesus, you're everything to me. Let the devil hear it. Jesus is everything to me. Hallelujah. He's everything to me. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for getting our hearts in the right frame of mind. Why we're here, what we're doing, Lord, to glorify you, Father of spirits. Please continue to touch our hearts during the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, we thank you, praise you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.